debt. You got to go to bed thinking about it. You wake up thinking about it. Here's the truth. The system traps you in debt. High interest credit cards and loans make it nearly impossible to pay off your debt. And don't forget insane inflation. That keeps you stuck paycheck to paycheck. Done with debt is your lifeline. Done with debt has an ingenious new strategy to help you erase your debt faster and easier than you ever thought was possible. Done with debt analyzes all the debt options you qualify for. They know how to reduce your bills. They know how to get interest rates cut. Their skilled staff of negotiators know how to get the debt out of your life permanently, without bankruptcy and without a loan. Done with debt are the experts in brilliant strategies for eliminating debt. But you need to hurry because some debt solutions are time sensitive. So here's how easy they make it. Go to donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Again, donewithdebt.com.
Hey, this is Jesse the Nobody Ventura, and I'm the biggest fucking pussy in the wrestling business.
Whoa.
Because I'm a coward.
And I don't
and everybody knows in the dressing room that all I did was talk shit about being a Navy SEALs, but I'm really a fucking coward. And I only went to Japan one time, and I couldn't take it because it was too rough on me. But, you know, I smoked a lot of pot in the governor's mansion, and then the next thing I knew, I was booted out of my ear, and I'm Jesse the Nobody Ventura, and even I was scared of Greg Gagne. What's up?
I heard you're Jesse the No-Show Ventura, and I also heard back in the day, Jesse, you can confirm or deny that you and your wife used to go to Plato's Resort all the time.
Yeah, I used to brag about going to Plato's Retreat, and I had a little half mini vest that used to, my belly button used to hang on. I had some beads hanging on it. I acted like I was in a hippie, and I bragged about eating Quiz Aludes all the time, you know. And
really?
Then one time I went to San Francisco and made the Salt Lake City San Fran Cow Palace Soup, but I really didn't make it because I ended up down in Haight-Ashbury with my hair spiked up like Bozo the Clown on steroids, and I pissed in my pants, and when I showed up, they wouldn't let me wrestle because I couldn't lace my boots up. I was so fucked up on the 714s, you know.
And I also heard, Jesse, that in actuality, man, you never were that good of a worker, and in the back, the boys, I mean, you weren't a draw or a moneymaker or nothing.
No, Adrian Adonis, the East-West connection. Adrian Adonis, he carried me for about 8 years in my career, and Adrian hated me, too, because when we get a big pile of the white stuff, I wouldn't want to pay for it, but I'd whiff it all up, you know what I'm saying? So yeah. It was really, really tough, you know, back in the day, trying to act like a tough guy when everybody in the dressing room really knew I was a big pez.
And at the end of the day, man, you really never made that good of a fucking payday in the business, did you?
No, I was never a main eventer, but I bullshitted everybody because I was such a good storyteller. I even got elected to the governor of Minnesota. I was such a big, good bullshitter because I knew just a little bit about a lot of things, and at the end of the day, that was the only way I survived in the wrestling business because I wore a bunch of flamboyant stuff I copied and stole from superstar Billy Graham, and the only thing that kept me alive was I had a little flamboyancy. I could talk, but I really couldn't work, so, you know, I was scared of my own shadow, so everybody just kind of powder-puffed me through the whole business, but at the end of the day, I was scared to even tell my wife I wasn't a main eventer.
Well, yeah, I actually heard, too, you're such a fucking turncoat asshole, Jesse, that when Hogan got his little scrape up there in Minneapolis, you actually motherfucked Terry on the backside.
Oh, that was definitely my claim to fame, because I've always been jealous of Hogan, you know what I'm saying? So when he got in that little brush with the law out there,
yeah.
And, you know, all that extortion-type crap came out, and that sexual innuendo that really wasn't the real deal, if you know what I'm saying. I jumped on the air every single day and did the Hogan bashing. That's what kept me alive for so long on public radio up there, because that's the only way I knew how to keep myself in the spotlight, was to bash Hogan every day and hang on to his coattails.
So Hogan gets a little scrape of the law up there, and the bottom line is you find your opportunity to cut your angle on public radio to keep your flame going, all while at Hogan's expense. Kind of like, you know, much like your career, never a main eventer, just always writing off Adonis, people doing jobs for you.
Well, you know something, that's true, but you know, the way I feel about it now, I've blown my own egos up so much, I might be dumb enough to come down there to Tampa, Florida, and get in the Bubba Gun and take that old crippled up, broken down hip replacement and he replacing Hogan on, because Hogan's scared of his own shadow. And, you know, I'm calling him out, Bubba. Maybe you could set that up, you know, because I know Hogan's been running from me from all those years, but I would sure love to kick his ass in his own hometown because, you know, I'm a tough Navy SEAL. I'm Jesse the Body Ventura. You think you could hook that up, Bubba?
Now, have you ever actually worked with Terry in the ring before, Jesse?
Oh, yeah, I actually got a chance to work in a handicap match with him where it was me and Adrian Adonis against Hogan when he was the man in Minnesota, and then I had a couple one-on-one wins in the WWF, but Vince knew that the matches sucked because Hogan needed somebody really good to work with because he wasn't that great a worker himself, and I was worse than Hogan. So at the end of the day, I did work with Hogan one time, and you know, I used to delay and take my time worse than Hogan did, and we were doing the test of strength one time, and he kicked me in the jaw, and he dislocated my jaw, and I whined, and I bitched, and I complained about that. I rode that shit out for a year or so, I would never have to get in the ring with Hogan again.
any animosity about how hot Terry was back in the Vern Gagne territory, and, you know, you never really got a good push up there, and I think that's where a lot of your animosity comes from, Bob.
Well, everybody in the business said I was jealous of Hogan, and that's what all the boys said, because I talked so much smack behind his back, but the truth was, I just really wasn't jealous of Hogan. I just was trying to bait him and get him in the ring, but now that he's an old man, I really think I could kick his ass, so maybe Bubba, you know, since I've talked so much shit about Hogan all these years, maybe I ought to step up and be a man and do something about it. Maybe you could set that up, Bubba, one-on-one confrontation, sign a waiver, you know, so no matter how bad I kill Hogan, you know, he won't be able to sue me for it.
Well, actually, Jesse, I'm pretty good friends with Hogan. I could probably get that arranged, but from what I can gather, you always are always ducking and shaking and moving and never really ever will. Terry has actually tried to confront you and ask you several times about some of the things that you've said over the years, but you just never seem to be available. You go on Howard Stern's show, say all this bullshit, and then Terry comes in the next day and refutes what you have to say, but you're never ever quite available for comment when you know Hogan could be laying in the bushes.
Well, you know, I think the pendulum's swinging back the other way, and I think, you know, we're both in the senior citizen category, so even if he did hit me with a sucker punch, I probably wouldn't turn into dust quite as quickly as he would. So I think now would be the time to attack, because I think he's probably complacent. He's got a bunch of problems, and at the end of the day, you know, maybe Hogan might be dumb enough to step up and get his ass whooped in his own town, so I'm really counting on maybe coming on your show someday, Bubba, live and in person, and seeing how I've done such a great job on the radio here and calling in on time and being punctual and being a great guest and keeping my word. You know I'll come down there and kick Hogan's ass for you.
Wow, Jesse, the Body Ventura. And the ongoing rib. Now, you know, Jesse, I know a lot about the business, so know a lot of good friends, but the ongoing rib was you were the biggest pussy that supposedly was a tough guy, and you rode this Navy SEAL deal out for the longest time, but the ongoing rib was, like, Arn Anderson was always real tough guy, and there was always, like, Rick Rude. I know you're familiar. He was a tough guy. Jake the Snake Roberts was just, you know, shoot style. Those guys are men's men, but, like, you were the biggest, and don't get mad at me, Jesse, but you were the biggest fucking jabron powder puff going, and that's what do you got to say about as far as you having that reputation in the boys?
Well, that was back in the day, and I really didn't want to have a confrontation, but the truth was, everybody knew I was such a kizunt that was really the only thing that kept me going. It's like reverse psychology. I did the tough guy thing, you know, and talked all that smack and all that shit and kept the boys entertained, so everybody knew they shouldn't beat me up. But the word on the street was, don't fuck with Jesse, you know, because he's a solid mid-card guy and he's entertaining, so, you know, just don't beat his ass up. And I don't know how I scathed by, I don't know how I survived, but it worked, and here I am.
Any rumors, Jesse, any rumors that Rick Martel and you and Pat Patterson were, you know, kind of buddies?
Oh, well, I don't want to go down that road, you know what I'm saying, because my kids and my wife might be listening, but I don't want to go down the Pat Patterson highway.
Right. But so that you're not going to confirm or deny any of that?
No, I can't confirm. I can deny.
This has been a very enlightening interview, Jesse.
I think the fake Jesse would be better than the real fucking Jesse, to be honest with you.
Oh, he's a fucking pussy.
Manscaped offers the best in precision-engineered tools for men's below-the-waist grooming. They just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. Manscaped engineered the ultimate groin and body trimmer by focusing on intelligent functionality and an incredible, comfortable grooming experience. The Lawnmower 4.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It has a multifunction on-off switch with a travel lock as well. Use the 4000K LED spotlight when you need a more precision shave. It gets dark down there sometimes. Customize your trim for additional guard length, sizes 1 through 4. Enhance your confidence with Manscaped's new Lawnmower 4.0 and get 20% off your order and free shipping with the code Bubba at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com with promo code Bubba at checkout. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
The world might know him as the Immortal Hulk Hogan. The Immortal Hulk Hogan.
Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
But we lovingly refer to him as Hootie.
Happy birthday to you, Hootie. Now, is that listen, you were, you know, in the locker room for, is that a shoot about Virgil sucking himself off?
I don't know about Virgil, but Lanny Poffo, yeah.
Yeah, Macho's brother, Lanny Poffo, he could suck himself off?
Oh, yeah, Lanny's ambidextrous, easiest.
The only bad thing about Lanny is he really enjoyed it. I mean, you know, Virgil was just doing it as a demonstration. Lanny probably really liked it.
A demonstration.
Oh, Lanny's had several situations where he's exercised the oral option on himself.
Now, let me ask you a question. The ongoing argument we have here is, if you can suck your own dick, is that a gay move? Just your own.
A gay move?
I mean, does it make you gay if you suck?
I think it's a self-sufficient move.
Right, exactly. Be like saying if you jerk your own cock.
That's a creative answer.
If you jerk yourself off, that ain't gay. But if you jerk another man off, that's gay. So I think the same thing with a cock. If you suck your own dick, that's not gay. If you suck another man's dick, you're gay.
Well, I don't know. But I mean, you know, anybody can, you know, get their own hookup in the house behind the privacy of their own doors. I don't want to know about it, but it'll keep them from going out and spending money.
That's true. Look what pussy has gotten you, my friend. Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
Look what bad piss has gotten me.
Look what bad. look what bad fucking onion 1983 doing nails on in Hollywood got you. Look what that shit got
you.
That
was a bad deal all the way around, bro.
What did Andre tell you that night? Be honest.
He said, no, before that, when he met her in Denver, when he met Lynn in Denver, the first night she ever fought a wrestling match, he goes, boss, they're all the same. I said, what do you mean? What are you talking about? They're all the same. He goes, stand them on their head, grab them by the ankles, open them up. They're all the same. I did not understand what he meant until now.
Meaning they're all?
They're all kizons. They're all the same. Some are good, some are better, but they're all kizons. At the end of the day, it comes down to sitting across the table with a couple lawyers and all the sizz aim.
Let me ask you a question, man. How hard, if you wouldn't have got married, man, how hard were you running on the whores back in the day, prior to marriage?
Well, the whole thing was right before, you know, getting married. Stallone had just divorced his first wife, Sasha, right?
Right.
And I did that Rocky III movie, and I'm out there, you know, in the ring doing my thing, and there's this good-looking blonde on the apron taking still pictures. I said, hey, Sly, who's that girl? He goes, oh, it's my ex-wife. I said, why is she still hanging out? First off, I was going to hit on her, but I didn't know it was his ex-wife. He wouldn't have cared anyway. But, you know, we kind of became friends right away. We started running. That brother had some serious leftovers. You know what I'm saying?
He got all kinds of pussy. Plus, he was, the Rocky franchise, he was on Rocky III at that point.
Then we ran hard for a while after that, you know. Because,
didn't you get heat one time because, like, a day before you're supposed to go on a date with Linda, you're out doing remember the magazine We, Brent?
Oh, yeah.
Hogan did like a
OUI.
Yeah, he did a photo shoot with some whores on a.
Well, I got caught into that deal. We went over to Ozzy Osbourne's rental house, right?
Right.
And Stallone goes, hey, I'm going to call some girls to come over. So, you know, I said, yeah, I'll call them over. So, you know, he had buddies around with cameras and stuff. And so anyway, these girls all took their tops off. I was single, you know, 24, 25 years old. And so all of a sudden, he had them climbing all over me with the tops off. Nobody had the bottoms off. He had them climbing all over me. And all of a sudden, people were taking pictures, laughing, carrying on. Next thing I knew, they were in We Magazine.
Ooh, man.
Did you get a payday for that? Did you get a payday for it?
Hell no, I didn't get a payday.
And hey, you remember your first one? Like, how'd you lose your virginity? Like, how old were you?
Oh, God, he used to sneak out of... He was fucking like when he was 12.
No, I wasn't.
See, I want to hear the Hogan loses virginity story.
Hogan used to sneak out of class at Robinson High School, and there was this girl that lived real close to Robinson, and all the boys would go fuck her at lunch. True or false?
That was in high school. I wasn't 12 years old.
But in high school.
But was that your first time? With that chick?
What was the very first?
No, when I first got my car when I was 16, I had a girl that she had a couple older, mean-ass older brothers.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I carried a big old roll of paper Tizal into my front seat.
Right.
You know, and she would ask you to, you know, do the hand jive, and I'd catch
a nut.
Catch coins in the paper towel, you know what I'm saying? Why are we talking about this?
Because this is good shit. This is good shit. Hey. Was that the first girl that you ever got? I mean, that was the very first one.
That was my first giz.
Man, I got some pictures of Hogan, man. I should bring in and put on the website, man. This one, I don't know how old he was. He might have been like 18 or 19. He was all hippied out with some hot hippie bitches hanging out by an RV.
Who, me?
Yeah, I got some good pictures.
Hey, you take it easy with those pictures, dog.
Now,
can you believe can you believe it's my birthday today and I'm going to talk to a bunch of lawyers right
55
now?
55 years old, my friend. Running hard. I've known you since you were 43 years old.
Boy, you're my boy, man. I love you.
That's right. You're going to get lawyered up as we speak. You're meeting. You got big time meetings with Regina tonight.
Yeah, I'm getting hooked up with Gina because she's doing Windows Depot tomorrow.
I know.
but the thing is, it's only a temporary hearing. So you know, when I did my depot last week, they were hitting me with all the drugs and all this ridiculous crap, all these lies and stuff.
Right.
Which if I did it back in the day. But you know, they're talking all kind of smizak, you know.
What's Linda going to do when she gets hit with the truth?
Yeah, what's
Linda? Well, we hope if she's smart enough, she'll back off before them. But right now, we're just about temporary hearing, and she's wanting all kind of crazy money just to run hard in this town.
I heard you can tell me you can deny. I heard that she wanted $1.44 a month just to run fucking hard in this town.
Right about $1.50 a month.
$1.50 a month for what, Terry? What?
Hey, I got a call this afternoon. Somebody saw her riding. She's got like a beach cruiser bike. Somebody saw her riding with a tee back on a beach cruiser, and said her ass swallowed up the whole seat, and she had an open container of beer as she's riding the bike around Clearwater.
She's looking for the $150,000 a month. What do you do with $150,000?
Hey,
that's like $2 million.
I don't know, but I wish I had $150,000 a month right now.
Yeah, me too.
If you had $150,000 a month, are you any worried about shit, kid?
Dude, I'd be good, dog. I'm starting over anyway. Hey, I need some help, man. I need to sell some energy granules so I can get some spendamide. HulkHogan.com. You need to put me over like Howard did.
Hold on.
Howard put me over, and I got all kind of hits on my website.
Energy granules. Tell me about the energy granules. I'd like to hear it, Hogan.
I don't know anything about them.
Hulk Hogan Energy. That's the best spokesperson in the world. Brent, tell me about the new Brent Hatley Energy granules.
Well, I don't know anything about them.
We thank you,
all
Hulk.
I know is they taste like Pixie Sticks. They taste like a powder like Pixie Sticks.
All right, so
they're supposed to wire you up.
So is HulkHogan.com officially open for business? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, and we need to link it up to Bubba Clem website so we can sell I'm Free t-shirts. Break the chains that biz on me.
Now, let me ask you a question. Have you started doing red and yellow shirts? I get a ton of people asking for those.
No, we need to do them. And you need to make some shirts for me so I can make some money. I'm broke.
How fucking broke are you? Don't lie.
I'm broke. I'm Briz.
You're broke as a fucking joke, aren't you?
Oh, dude. You know what the thing is?
But what's broke for you?
Here's the straight-up thing. I had this month, you know, I didn't think I had as much money as I did. And I had 7 digits in my bank, right north of $1 million.
Right.
When I paid all my legal bills, I haven't got my bills for this month yet.
Right.
When I paid all my legal bills, I don't have any money now. I'm in debt.
None.
Oh my
zero.
God.
None. Zero. Nangoon.
So, Terry, you had more than, for 1 month, you had more than one.
No. It was a couple months I've been putting stuff off.
But still, you had more than $1 million just in legal.
Oh, yeah. No. Just in legal. I had some estimated taxes come up, you know, because I'm paying all the bills, dog.
Oh, my God.
What a
I'm paying all the biz bills. So don't even ask me about lending me money, because if you lend me money, it's already spent. Best thing you do is just give me food and handouts.
What a nightmare.
Food, handouts, and gimmicks.
Food, handouts, and gimmicks. I just put a smile on my face. That's all I'm asking
for. A guy that's dead-ass broke, you said you're in a pretty damn good mood, my friend. I'd be headed to the Sunshine Skyway.
No, I ain't going to Skyway. I'm driving the Yellow Bird across the bridge. He's got a few Miz or Liz. I sent him a wink.
But let me tell you something right now, though. The thing about it is, Hogan, once you cut all this fucking all these hyenas and this deadwood, I mean, and you could start making some money. I mean, you know, it didn't take much for you to live.
Oh, you know what was really cool? I got some of my people that were in Westlake, and they went in all the storage, and they were posing as people wanting to buy furniture. They took pictures of all my furniture, all my Miami furniture. They've got cellophane wraps.
Clear paper.
I saw all these pictures 2 days ago of all my Miami furniture in Gail Clarge's warehouse, all the Miami stuff all wrapped in that cellophane clear paper, you know?
Right.
And all my other furniture and stuff. And I heard they're shuffling and scrambling out there in Westlake, what I heard.
Well, Brent's actually got a couple people on it, and in fact, Brent's been actually befriended and gotten pretty good touch with a guy that works for the Building and Planning Commission of this particular county that's listening to the show.
Let me ask you this question. What happens when you build a big, you know, here's the thing. You know, when Linda brought my kids into they're the most two important family members, you know, I could have. So now nobody's off limits, so she's playing that game. You know what I'm saying? And so since, you know, Gail's got to be audited. We've done business with her, all that. What about, you know, and I saw some other paperwork. She paid like $15,000 taxes on her Somas property.
That's it?
Oh, I don't know. It's, you know, 50-something acres. I don't know what the hell it is.
$15,000, Brent, on 50 acres in Somers County?
I don't know. You'd have to look it up. I saw the readout stuff that came in the other day.
Arnold needs to get more of his vig.
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know, I don't know why you're not.
Listen to me. What happens when you build a big building, it passes inspection, the inspectors leave, then you go back in and you, like, put a second floor and bathrooms and plumbing. What happens? Do they have to go in and re-inspect it, or do you get in trouble?
I think there's a couple things that can happen. One, they can, in worst-case scenario, make you tear it down.
Yep.
But more likely, they'll just fine the ever-living shit out of you.
Yeah, the building inspector would rather fine
the shit. What about paying taxes? Do you pay taxes on what was inspected or what you really built?
If they could prove us how long it's been built, then you'd pay back taxes on how long they can prove it's been there, and then taxes there forward.
And then the interest and penalties on the back taxes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, anyway you cut it, Joe and Gail Claridge in Somers, California, probably are looking at, you know, not quite the happiest times.
Well, no, but what's got me hot is I heard they're all scrambling, and they're kabukied out about, you know, all this stuff going down here, so they're scrambling, and something flies in the ointment out there. Something's going down. It ain't going to be cool.
Spice, is it GailClaridge.com?
That's exactly what it is, I thought, right?
GailClaridge.com. Email her and just say, hey, I'm part of the Bubba Army, and we're on it. We're getting a hold of the building commissioner. I mean, just kabuki the bitch right on out.
Kabuki!
Oh, it's crazy. Man, Gina, I can't really talk about it, but Gina did some wonderful shit for me. I've had somebody poking their head out, causing me some problems. I had an emergency hearing scheduled for tomorrow at 3:30.
Yeah, that's a pretty good-looking lawyer, ain't it?
Yeah, Hogan's kind of got the hots for Gina a little bit.
Hey, easy, dog. Take it easy, brother.
You're the one who needs to take it easy, brother. You take it easy.
You cannot have a romantic interest with legal representation.
That's absolutely correct.
Look at Hogan. Like he knows the actual bylaws. Listen to that.
that's right in the
Hey,
in the
you
law.
Know what I meant to ask you, okay? And I want you not to be a pussy, and I want you to tell me if you really do know something about this, okay? We had a guy on about maybe five, six months ago, and he wrote this book about Vince McMahon, and he wrote about the Chris Benoit deal. What was the guy's name? I forget what the guy's name was. Anyway, he alluded to the fact that the reason why Macho Man got fired from Vince, and the reason why there's so much heat,
and you never see Macho Man ever,
and that you never saw Macho Man from the point that he's talking about forward, is because he, now this guy claims, and I have tape of it, so I can back it up, that Vince may have caught Macho Man messing around with Stephanie.
No. No way.
Spice, is that what he said?
His name's Michael Randazzo. He wrote a book called Ring of Hell.
It's called Ring of Hell. His name's Michael
Randazzo. No way in hell, bro.
So you said,
no,
like, way. In a limousine or something like that, that Vince
so
walked
you,
in
you never,
on.
You never heard
I
of it.
I can't even imagine that. No.
All right, so you're going to go, okay, well then, you know, we wanted to talk to somebody who might know, so you're saying.
You know what, if that went down, I know nothing about it.
Okay.
I find that hard to believe.
Nothing like that went down that you know.
A Macho Man was scared of his own shadow. He wouldn't dare do something like that.
And did it? And wasn't Macho Man just scared shitless of Andre because Andre hated him?
No baby oil.
He say what?
No baby oil.
What do you mean no baby oil?
No baby oil. Macho put baby oil on Andre, beat the shit out of him.
So when Macho was putting
Andre didn't like to take a shower after the matches. The last thing he wanted was Randy's stinky ass baby oil all
so,
over.
So what? So what would Andre imitate? What would he say?
No baby oil.
And when he said that in the locker room, you better well pay attention, right?
Oh, man, I used to shake in my boots.
No. Remember when he say, Terry, you drink with me tonight. You drink.
Yeah, I say, Andre, what are you going to do for a finish? You go, don't worry. You get pissed off, boy.
So if you try to talk about the finish, he didn't want to talk about it.
I say, don't worry. Now, how he's going to whip my ass anyway. I just want to know how.
Now, who would be out there calling it? Would he call it or would you
he
call
would.
It?
Hell yeah. I wouldn't say nothing. I was scared.
So when you're like, okay, if you guys lock up, what would he say? You know, watch the boo?
He usually just chopped me or beat on me. He just told me in the ropes not say anything and just hit me in the mouth or something.
You know? Then what if he said, hey, okay, now what if you wanted to, you know, get a little bit of heat on him? How would you call it?
Oh, he'd just say, stop me.
Stop me.
And if I kicked him too hard, he'd go, take it easy. So it's all good, man.
Remember the first time you wrestled Angle, Kurt Angle, and you had to say, slow the fuck.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Now, do you think, Terry, do you think of all the guys that you've wrestled and known over the years that have passed on, do you miss Andre the most?
Yeah, man, he was my boy. He had a good heart, bro. He taught me a lot. He taught me respect. Nobody.
Well, he taught you the business, man. He taught you about how
he knew that, you know, when dogs and different things like that go to obedience class, there's certain ways to break people, and he knew what I needed.
Mm-hmm. You just couldn't talk to me. You had to beat the shit out of me to get me to listen.
Now, who else that is that you guys have lost in the industry that you took it the most hard? Andre, obviously, but is there a couple others that you can give us that really, really fucked you up?
Kurt Henning was a tough one because Kurt was my boy, you know. Because we used to run real hard, and I felt real bad when Kurt passed away, because Kurt was actually trying to stay away from all the boys to straighten up, you know. And he just got some bad packages delivered to him. He just had a runaway train there, you know. So he was
that happened here in Florida too.
Yeah, he was working an independent show, and he actually asked to be staying in a hotel away from all the boys so that he wouldn't get into the mix of partying a couple days he's here. And somebody made a run out there, and next thing you know, game over. Hey man, that's Nick calling me. How'd you go?
Bye.
I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
I could talk about wrestling all day. It's Bubba the Love Sponge Show. Back in a minute. Stand by.
More of the Bubba Radio Network after this.